As we begin our time of worship, may the noises of the world be silenced in comparison to the praise flowing from our hearts as we echo the words of the psalmist, Alleluia, which means praise the Lord. Let my whole being praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Welcome to worship this morning here at First Presbyterian Church. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to grab those pew pads and pass those along. Take a look at the information in there. Fill out if you're a visitor, if you want some more information, if you have suggestions, whatever it might be, pass them back. See who's worshiping with you today. Use that as an opportunity to remember one another's names. That way you can greet each other by name as we get to that time of sharing the peace today. Invite Carol to come up. She's got a couple of announcements for us here today.
I have some invitations from Growing Connections. Today, author-illustrator Hannah Chung will be with us in the gathering room at 10:15. If you were a member of the church 25 years ago, you may remember Hannah and her family who lived here while the girls were in high school. She's coming to us from Rhode Island via Zoom to celebrate Grandparents' Day with a book talk featuring a young girl waiting not too patiently for grandma to come for a visit. We'll learn about her career path of social impact design, as well as her new book about baking bread. And next Sunday, the 14th, Chaplain Darren Beachy will present the first of a three-week series titled Understanding, Creating, and Creating a Healthcare Power of Attorney. Please join us for Growing Connections for this opportunity to explore the importance of making thoughtful decisions about future healthcare. And lastly, donations in the basket in Fellowship Hall will be designated for the Deacon's Compassion Fund.
Thank you, Carol. Jennifer has a couple of announcements as well.
Good morning. So this Wednesday, we are going to be serving our loaves and fishes meal again. And for you who maybe do not know, we prepare the meal here. The meat here, and then we meet over at Church of Peace at 4 o'clock, and we do the meal, and we're usually done by 6 o'clock. If you can help volunteer any time during that time, we have two new opportunities to help. One of those opportunities is to come here at 3 o'clock to pull apart the meat, because we do a pulled pork or a pulled chicken. This week it's pulled pork. And also, we have always had gracious volunteers to bring us many, many desserts. And we're asking if some of those volunteers could also help, or new volunteers could help us to bring some fruit. We usually purchase the fruit each week. Last time we served, we had a donation of fruit, and that was wonderful. And we thought about that. And that is another way that you don't have to bake. You can just bring us some fruit here. We do have a clipboard on the Welcome Center. If you're interested, if you could help us just kind of know how much fruit to expect or how much dessert we are expecting to come in, and also for volunteers. This week we have one of our really important volunteers is not able to be with us. So if you've ever served or if you've not served with us for Loaves and Fishes, please join us. We could use your help. Thank you.
Make sure to take a look at your calendar of events in the bulletin. Many other things coming up this week. We've got the blood drive. Bells are going to be practicing, getting them started up again. It is fall. We're going to be having outdoor worship kickoff Sunday coming up. Saturday night, we're going to have a movie out back. outside, so be praying for good weather on Saturday night. If not, okay, we'll have to move it inside, but invite you to come be a part of all of that. And make sure to take a look at the church calendar online to see all the different things that are happening, all the different events going on in the life of our church. Invite Todd to come up and continue to lead us in our worship.
Please rise as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Look around, what wonders we behold. We see others gathered here to worship and praise God. Each person here is a unique, beloved creation of God.
Each person here is given special gifts and talents by God.
Come, let us worship God who has blessed us so mightily. Let us praise God with our whole hearts, souls, minds, and spirits. Amen. Lord, from the very beginning of your creation, you breathed your love into all that you made. You gave us the breath of life and asked us to be good stewards of all creation. You placed your trust and love in us. Help us to turn again with joyful hearts to you, placing our trust in all that you have done for us. Let us be a blessing to you. Amen. Remember that our Lord Jesus can sympathize with us in our weakness, since in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, in boldness, approach the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Forgiving God, we have messed up in so many ways. You gave us a wonderful world filled with beauty, power, and majesty, and we have ravaged it, tearing away at its gifts with our own greed and cowardice. We have not treated this world or one another with compassionate love. We have turned our backs on situations of need in which we could have been instruments of help, healing, and peace. We have neglected service to others and have focused our lives on accumulating things and status. We have chased after false gods, greed, power, and fame. You are the potter, O Lord. You fashioned us, but we focused on developing our flaws rather than working with our strengths. Please forgive us, Lord. Refashion us to be your people, celebrating your love in service to others. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Hear these instructions from Ephesians 4:32. Since God has forgiven us in Christ, let us forgive one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Please share the peace of Christ with those around you. The first psalm describes two different paths of life, one for God's good and the other for destruction. God, through the psalmist, declares there are two ways of being human, and what we choose to meditate on makes all the difference. Let us read responsibly Psalm 1. The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instruction, and they recite God's instruction day and night. They are like a tree replanted by streams of water, which bears fruit at just the right time, and whose leaves don't fade. Whatever they do succeeds. That's not true for the wicked. They are like dust that blows the wind blows away. And that's why the wicked will have no standing in the court of justice, neither will sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is destroyed.
Today's gospel reading, prescribed by the Revised Common Lectionary, is from Luke's gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 25 to 33. Listen for the word of the Lord. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Turning to them, he said, "Whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, spouse and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even one's own life, cannot be my disciple. Whoever doesn't carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If one of you wanted to build a tower, wouldn't you first sit down and calculate the cost to determine whether you have enough money to complete it? Otherwise, when you have laid the foundation but couldn't finish the tower, all who see it will begin to belittle you. They will say, 'Here's the person who began construction and couldn't complete it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down to consider whether his 10,000 soldiers could go up against the 20,000 coming against him? And if he didn't think he could win, he would send a representative to discuss some terms of peace while his enemy was still a long way off. In the same way, none of you who are unwilling to give up all of your possessions can be my disciple." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. You can sit on this chair. You want to sit up here? So, did you hear what Pastor just read to us today? That kind of sounds a little tough. All that work that Jesus wants us to do. So it reminds us that following Jesus, following God, is not easy. And I was kind of thinking a little bit about the hokey pokey. Bear with me for a second. But the hokey pokey, have you ever done the hokey pokey? No, I didn't think so. But a lot of people in here have. When I was a kid, we did. Even my kids did. And so in the hokey pokey, sometimes you put your right hand in, and then you got to remember, which one is my right hand in? And then you shake it, and then you take it out, and you shake it. And then you put your left hand, and your left hand, and your foot, and your other foot. And then there comes to be a point where you put your whole body in, and everything shakes all at the same time. Well, it kind of reminds me what Jesus is talking to us about a little bit here is sometimes, because it's not easy to follow Jesus, sometimes we do just one hand. I'll just do little bits. I'll do it here. But maybe not so much over here. I'll do it when it's easy, but maybe not when it gets a little tough. When we follow Jesus, we love other people, we show kindness, we do all those things, even when it's tough. But sometimes when it gets a little tough, we start to think, I'll just do this little part. Or I'll do it when I'm at church on Sunday. I'm all in. I'm all in the middle, and I'm shaking all about. But, for all the drivers out there, when you're in a big traffic jam and you're really frustrated, not so much in now, right? Or maybe when you need to be kind to someone or share with someone who hasn't been very nice to you, it's a little hard. But Jesus wants us to do those things all the time, to be all in all the time, to be all in every day, not just on Sundays or on Mondays, to be in all the time and everywhere, not just here at church, but or home or school, but when you're playing outside on the playground, or when you're playing a game, or soccer, or anything like that, all the time, everywhere. So, you've never played, we'll have to do the hokey pokey sometime in Sunday school. But for all your grown-ups, I want you to think about that. Are you all in all the time, or just a little bit? Let's take a little time and let's talk with God about that. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the love that you share with us each and every day. And we ask that you would help us to share that love, to be all in, everywhere, all the time, with you. We know we do these things not so that you love us, but because you love us. We ask that you would help us to share your love with each person we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
And that's what it's all about. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, all that you have done for us. As we gather together, may we hear your spirit afresh. May we feel your presence in a powerful way. May we trust you, follow you. May we put our entire selves all in to serve you and to serve your kingdom. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This can be a difficult text. I wanted to do a little preface before I started reading it because I'm afraid that as I read this text, there were probably more than one or two of you who got caught up in that first line and started pondering, does Jesus actually command us to hate our family? I've heard people use this passage in that exact manner. They quote Jesus, maybe a little bit out of context. Whoever comes to me and doesn't hate father and mother, spouse and children, brothers and sisters, even one's own life, you cannot be my disciple. But yet, Jesus doesn't command us to hate in the way that we might normally be thinking. It's unfortunate that most English translations still use this word hate, even though it is an accurate translation of the original Greek. The word hate in verse 26, it's missio, and in the Koine Greek, it's used in this manner to write this letter, and it does translate word for word as hate. Hate is often understood as the antithesis of loving. When we hear this word, hate, we typically have some sort of a definition, an understanding of it, along the lines of extreme ill will, having a passionate aversion to something. I can't stand it. Treating something or even someone as an enemy. This word can also be used with hyperbole. In the original Greek language, the word hate can be used in that sense of moral comparison, meaning to love less, to reduce the importance of one thing in comparison to another. That's the case here in this passage. When Jesus says to hate our family, to hate ourselves, it's in comparison. When we take into account the larger context of today's gospel letter, we see that expectation to hate is connected with carrying our own cross, following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus. To hate one's own family is Jesus' way of naming that seriousness of taking this journey with him to Jerusalem. Because remember, here in Luke's gospel, chapter 9, verse 51 is a pivotal verse. That verse says, as the time approached when Jesus was to be taken up to heaven, he determined to go to Jerusalem. Some translations would say he set his face toward Jerusalem. He didn't look back. He didn't look left or right. That is the primary focus from chapter 9, verse 51, until he dies on the cross. Just before Luke makes this pivotal shift in his writing, we hear Jesus talking about the demands of discipleship earlier in this letter. Luke wrote, "Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." There, Luke is showing us that to be a disciple of Jesus, it leads us to a death that opens a door to life. It's a crucifixion, a mini death, a little death that leads us into a new life. Another way of hearing this, I like how one commentator wrote it, is that the cost of discipleship is better than the loss of discipleship. Let me repeat that. The cost of discipleship is better than the loss of discipleship. In today's passage, Jesus is telling us that to hate everything in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to reduce the importance of anything and everything in comparison to our commitment to living out that kingdom choice of following Jesus. It's where he gets into the comparison of building, of going to war. We might have all sorts of different comparisons in our life. What football team would take the field knowing that they had a team of third graders going against professional football players? That just would not be fair. It would be a brutal slaughter. We don't enter into discipleship, into our commitment to be God's faithful people, nilly-willy, without considering what are the real costs. My own personal translation of this verse is this: whoever comes to me and doesn't love God more than everything and everyone, even themselves, can't be my disciple. And maybe that doesn't give quite as much power as Jesus felt that it needed. And I think sometimes we need to be a little bit more powerful in what we expect of one another as Christians. Now, this verse is really nothing more than a restatement of the first commandment with a little practical application. Remember the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you love anyone or anything more than you love God, you're not making the right choices to live a kingdom life. Practical way for us to evaluate our lives is to look at our checkbooks, look at our day planners to figure out how much money, how much time are we spending, and if God is getting a whole lot less, we're making the wrong kingdom choices, and we need to start making some strides towards getting that corrected. To carry our cross is a daily struggle. Commitment must be renewed every day when we're confronted with a temptation to lay it down, to give up. What if Jesus' demand of hating family is to refuse to live by narrow, exclusive ideas of family when it comes to meeting human needs, contributing to the wholeness of human beings, when we expand it beyond our biological families? What are the ways in which we love our identity of being a church family? The Presbyterians, at the expense of truly being a family of God. Now, we wouldn't do that at all, would we? We do it all the time. Whenever we focus on those things that set us apart from other Christians, Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, non-denominationals, on and on and on, whenever we focus on those differences, then we love being Presbyterian more than we love being Christian. Now, I'm not saying we need to all agree, set aside every difference in our theology and beliefs in order to be disciples of Christ. No, what I'm saying is that we need to learn how to focus more on what we all agree with. We need to learn afresh how to have healthy conversations, listening to the other person, not in order to prove ourselves right and to have some sort of defense against them, but to truly listen, to learn how we can better love God together more than we love ourselves and the perceived comfort of being a faith family in a certain way that we're used to. We have to be willing to let go of everything to truly trust God to provide for all our needs. To trust God rather than us proving that our understanding of God is right. One final point I want to make today. In Luke's gospel, we don't take this journey of discipleship alone. His disciples don't, and we don't either. Our journey is only possible because of Jesus' journey. As Luke reveals a little bit later, even that most determined disciple, Simon, who became Peter, he fails to make good kingdom choices by denying Jesus three times, by abandoning discipleship to go back to fishing. But the gospel story doesn't end with those situations. And it's also in reading all the gospel accounts together that we find the hope to continue on our journey together. It's in John's gospel, the 21st chapter, that Peter really learns about making kingdom choices, what it means to love God more than anything else. It's there in John 21, after Jesus, resurrected Jesus, meets the disciples there on the shore. When he asks Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Pointing to the fish that are there on that charcoal fire. Peter made that decision to go back to his old way of life, to go back to fishing. Didn't know what else to do. At least six other disciples went along with him and said, "Yep, we're right there with you. Let's go back to it." And they failed miserably all night long. As they came ashore, this guy on the shoreline says, "Hey, cast your net on the other side." Whatever. Miraculous catch. And they realize it's Jesus. Their eyes are opened. And as they sit there, and Peter smells that same charcoal fire that he had smelt the night that he had denied Christ three times and heard the rooster crow, Jesus meets him right where he's at. It's an important, mysterious grace that is presented there. Jesus meets him, loves him, forgives him, and encourages him to continue the journey of being a disciple together with the other disciples. It's only through Jesus' faithful journey of accomplishing our redemption on the cross that transforms and sustains our journey. Simply put, it's God's grace that makes our journey of discipleship even possible. It's only by God's love for us that we're able to love God more than we love everything else. For us to continue our journey with Jesus, to make kingdom choices, we need to learn together what it means to love God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. May we allow the love of God to nourish us and strengthen us as we break bread together this morning, that we might be able to make kingdom choices in all that we say and all that we do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. invite you to stand as you are able as we affirm the faith of our baptism as written in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as the ushers come forward to gather God's tithes. And as our praise band today sings a new song for you, Hard Fought Hallelujah. And remember that word hallelujah means praise you, Lord. Praise Yahweh.
Well, I don't always feel it, yeah, but that's when I need it the most. So I go keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. There's times when my hands go up freely, times that it calls. There's days when the praise comes out easy, days when it takes all the strength I got. I bring my heart fought, heart felt, been through hell, hallelujah. I bring my storm tossed, tossed story to tell, hallelujah. God, you've been patient, God, you've been gracious, faithful whatever I'm feeling or facing. I'll bring my heart, 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 it is well, hallelujah. 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 I wrestle with the dark, but I'm trying to reach for the light. The struggle keeps me honest, and it breaks down the walls of my pride. But faith isn't proven like gold till it's been through the fire. Hey. My head, heart, and hands feeling heavy. That's when I lift them just a little. Faithful, whatever I'm feeling or facing. you've been patient, God, you've been gracious, faithful whatever I'm feeling or facing. I'll bring my heart up, heartfelt, it is well, hallelujah,
Lord, take what we offer back to you, a portion of that which you have entrusted to us, our very selves. Multiply these offerings. Use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you are seated, let us prepare our hearts for sharing together this holy meal as the servers set this banquet table, a foretaste of the great banquet to come, as we gather together to meet Christ. This table is not a Presbyterian table. It is not the church's table. This is the Lord's table. This is open to all who believe in Jesus Christ. This is open to children who have parents' permission, who have been instructed of the mystery, the understanding of the mystery of this holy meal, of Christ's presence, that as we lift our hearts to God, Christ meets us. Today, as we share this meal, we'll have servers at the front that you are invited to come forward to either take a wafer and dip it in the cup, or to take a prepackaged kit if you prefer, to partake of the meal and to return to your pew. Or if you prefer to stay in your pew, we will have servers that will come around and bring the elements to you.
Let us pray together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to you, O God, for all your works. You created the world and you called it good and made us in your image to live together in love. You made a covenant with us, and even when we turned away from you, you remained ever faithful. Thank you, God, for sending us your Son. He lived among us and told your story and lived your word. He healed the sick. He welcomed sinners. He shared our pain and died our death and then rose to new life that we too might live, and all creation will be restored. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these elements that you have given to us through your creation, that this loaf, this cup may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that we may be the body of Christ for the world. By your Spirit, unite us with Christ and with one another until we feast with him and with all your saints in the eternal realm of justice and peace. We ask that you hear the prayers of our hearts, that you heal us, you heal our families, you heal our nation, our government, the nations and governments of the world, that you heal all of creation. We ask these things through Christ, with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And joining our voices with those from around the world, we pray as you have taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We give thanks that Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he gathered together with his disciples, he took bread. Give thanks to God, blessed God, he blessed the meal, broke it, and said, This is my body. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after the meal, he took the cup. Again, blessing God, giving thanks, he said, This cup is a cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me. As often as we share this bread and this cup, we do proclaim Christ's death until he comes again in final glory. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. I invite the servers to come forward that you might be served in order to serve others. God of abundance. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and with one another. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever to make kingdom choices as your disciples, living out the risen life of Christ, our Savior. Amen. I invite you to stand for our sending hymn. May this be the prayer of your hearts. I will follow. Of God has formed us as a family of faith. The love of Jesus has woven us together as partners in grace. The love of Holy Spirit guides us to make kingdom choices. Go forth with the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, choosing to love God more than everything else in all creation. Amen and amen.